Father in heaven, we thank you that we are able to gather here this morning. May we embrace your glory, your truth, and may your spirit have freedom this morning as we handle a wonderful topic that each and every one of us deals with every day. So, Lord, we commit this time to you as we continue our worship, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Matt, if you got a minute, you can just help me move everything here. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for being a part of this sermon series as we're continuing our thoughts on Created to Thrive. And, you know, I stated when we began the series that every couple of weeks we were going to have a person of expertise in the particular area that we were talking about. And last week we talked about emotional health. And this is a huge topic. So, you know, without any further introduction or further ado, I want to introduce to you a very special privilege to have here this morning, psychotherapist Fern Banner. Fern, would you please come up and join us here this morning? Yeah, you can clap. It's okay. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Well, welcome. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for being a part of this. I'm really excited to have you here this morning and deal with the topic of emotions. And I was saying to Fern earlier that of all the sermons I've preached, I got the most response from last week's message. Now, is that good or bad? Okay. but a lot of people expressing their own personal stories about emotional health and emotional well-being, and so it's getting a lot of traction. So Fern, it's great to have you here this morning, and you have your practice here in London, and this is a topic that's really close to your heart, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah.
So is that on? Did I turn it on? I didn't. I'm used to talking really loud.
You can yell at me if you want.
Well, and I'm gonna let you try.
Actually, it's on Dave.
I'm going to try again. Is that better?
Is it on?
I'll keep talking until we've got me. Is that good?
Yeah.
No, it's not good.
I can hear.
I'll keep speaking. Does that sound better? There. You're good. Awesome. There. Oh, beautiful.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, don't fall asleep out there, okay, guys? We need
to. So what does he get to do out there? Long story. Okay, we won't go there.
That's our worship team. And
they need a break?
They need a break,
okay,
yeah.
They can hear it. We're all good. Okay.
But they can hear you out there. So okay. if they go horizontal, it's not our problem, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, so we're talking about Created to Thrive, and we're talking about emotions, and I just want to dive into this. In your practice, are there common emotional issues that you consistently see?
So let me just give you a couple words about what I do here. I'm in private practice in London, so I see couples, I see families, I see individuals. So with what I do every day, it varies from doing work individually with someone maybe who's a trauma survivor, or working with a couple who's having some disagreements, or perhaps even working through other pieces. So when the emotions come up, which they are, you are built with emotions, and you are moved by your emotions. You are to be stirred up by your emotions. This is one of the definitions of emotions, to be stirred up and to be moved. If you look at the word emotion, and we'll go with the first slide if you could, please.
Yeah, if you can move this. By the way, I put your resume up here.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, we forgot. Yeah.
Okay.
And again, that's just a small piece of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry to embarrass you, but
yeah,
that's
no
important
worries.
For people to see. Okay.
So, with emotions, you're meant to be stirred up, and emotions are, if we take the word apart, energy in motion, emotion, okay? So it's meant to move. So what I see in practice is when emotions get stuck. So what happens when you get stuck in anger? Ever happened? What happens when you get stuck in sadness? Sadness is supposed to meant. We're meant to move. It's meant to move through you. So if you could just stay on that first picture with all the faces. There we go. Awesome. What I'm going to get you to do with me is to follow through what happens with emotions. Is the first thing is it's going to show up on your face. Before you even know about it, it's already showed up on your face. And we're not very good at knowing what's on our faces. So this is some of the piece of the universal signals that we have with emotions. And they're based on experience. So even though your emotion you might have, if you are in a different experience, that emotion will have show up differently. There is a primary emotion, something that's going to come up at the top, and the brain signals, first, pay attention. So when it sees something on your face, it will start to say, pay attention. And the next thing the brain does is to go to appraise. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it dangerous? Not dangerous. So these are some of the things that emotions do. So I'm going to get you to play with me on emotions. So first off, I want you to be able to look at the top picture of the little babe. Okay? So if you could with me, I'm going to get you to see if you can mimic what you're seeing and then feel it. So hand on chest, eyes open, and mouth open. What do you think that is?
Surprise.
You got it. Surprise. Wow. You got it. Awesome.
Surprise.
Next one over. The fella. Right? Grima Singh, see those eyebrows up?
Yeah.
What is it?
Hands on the steering wheel.
What's the emotion with that one?
Anger.
Anger. You got it. Now, all of these emotions go on a continuum. Look at one end as with anger. It might be rage. All the way to the other end might be irritation, frustration. Okay, if you look at the next one down is the fellow, the man. He's got the corners of his mouth turned down. Okay, eyes turned down. Try that. What happens in your body when you hold that? See if you can do it right now. I heard it. Sad.
Yeah,
you can feel it. So sad might go all the way from that complete despair, hopeless, all the way through to just disappointment. So again, that continuum of emotions. The bottom one, the lady, hands up here, eyes are big. You got it, fear. Now the next one's fun. I want you to curl your lip up, your nose kind of goes up. What's that one? Yeah, disgust. Ever had some food you don't like? Or it's smelly? Blue cheese, maybe? Disgust. The last one is happy, you got it. So that's easy. So now I'm going to take you through some that are not so easy because this is how it's been studied over time. Next slide, please. So what happened with one psychologist named Paul Ekman back in 1967-68, he started studying, are emotions universal? Can you see them on other people's faces across cultures? So he went to Papua New Guinea. He started asking a group called the Four People if he could. They were a non-verbal group. It's a very primitive tribe. And he was trying to find out if these emotions that we see in North America, are they across culture? So this fella, before I tell you what it is, I want you to guess. What is it? Happiness. So what they asked him to show on his face was what his face would look like if his friends had come. Okay. Next image. What do you think that one is? Sadness. So in this photograph, the subject was asked to show what his face would look like if his child had just died. And you can see the side, the eyes are down, the drooping on the sides of the lips. Next image, please.
Is that the same guy?
It's the same guy. Wow. What do you think that one is? There we go. Disgust. It's disgust. There's these subtle differences with it. You can see the nose, the curled up at the nose. He was asked to show a face what it would look like if he stepped on a smelly dead pig. Beautiful, huh? Next one, please. What do you think? angry. You got it. So in this one, you can see it's a little different, furrowed brows, but you can see the tight lips that go across, right? He's angry. In this one, he was asked to show what his face would look like if you were about to fight. Okay. So these are things that you're going to watch in everybody's face, and you're going to be appraising when you see somebody's face very quickly. Is it safe to approach, or do I pull back based on what's happening? And it's very quick. It's nanoseconds long. So what I see in my practice is individuals that get stuck in emotion. They don't know how to move through. Their loved ones are going, what's going on, right? And often some of the individuals will try to help you with it. So instead of going, oh, I see you're really frustrated, they'll go, well, don't you think it's a beautiful day? It's Thanksgiving. And so we'll try to shift you out of that. Nothing more frustrating than somebody telling you what you should feel instead of what you are feeling.
Yeah, because that devalues the feeling, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you.
And yeah. And then something that invariably becomes wrong with you if you don't validate.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where do you see that true emotional health comes from? What's the core?
So what we're going to run through is what it should develop like over time, knowing that the emotions come up, and we're going to run through it with your brain, but the emotions come up very quick. This is not something you can control. It is irrational, but the brain has its reasons. So what develops over time, so we're going to look at a quick two-minute video clip of a child and mom interacting, an experiment. So those of you that are not here today and are listening on a podcast later, just Google, or actually go YouTube and write still face experiment. Still face experiment.
We're gonna,
and it's Dr. Edward Tronick.
Okay, we're going to probably try and get this on.
Please, if you could run the video.
On our website as well.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're going to try and get this on.
Emotions and the reactivity and the social interaction that they get from the world around them. This is something that we started studying 30, 40 years ago when people didn't think that infants could engage in social interaction. In the still face experiment, what the mother did was she sits down and she's playing with her baby who's about a year of age.
I'm like a girl.
Oh. And she gives a greeting to the baby. The baby gives a greeting back to her.
Yeah.
This baby starts pointing at different places in the world, and the mother's trying to engage her and play with her. They're working to coordinate their emotions and their intentions, what they want to do in the world. And that's really what the baby is used to. And then we ask the mother to not respond to the baby. The baby very quickly picks up on this, and then she uses all of her abilities to try and get the mother back. She smiles at the mother. She points because she's used to the mother looking where she points.
Yeah.
The baby puts both hands up in front of her and says, "What's happening here?" She makes that screechy sound at the mother, like, come on, why aren't we doing this? Even in this 2 minutes, when they don't get the normal reaction, they react with negative emotions, they turn away, they feel the stress of it, they actually may lose control of their posture because of the stress that they're experiencing. It's a little like the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is that normal stuff that goes on, that we all do with our kids. The bad is when something bad happens, but the infant can overcome it. After all, when you stop the still face, the mother and the baby start to play again. The ugly is when you don't give the child any chance to get back to the good. There's no reparation, and they're stuck in that really ugly situation.
Wow. This theme of stuck is coming up quite a bit, and that's only a 2-minute video, but yeah, the emotional variety and divergence is really quite stark. Wow.
So it is really profound. So I use this video clip in with my clients all the time to show them what it's meant to happen, how we're meant to engage with one another with emotion. And then what happens when the mom, right? What happens if your spouse doesn't respond? Ever had that happen?
Never.
Silence?
I just speaking what everybody else is thinking, right?
So if your partner doesn't respond, if your primary caregiver doesn't respond, it is highly provocative. We can't handle it. So we do all kinds of crazy things, don't we? You ever seen that, you know, how the baby lost control? Ever seen an adult do that? Where are you? I need you. Are you not listening? Right? We lose it. We need you to be able to hear my emotions, to be with me in those emotions, to come alongside with me in those emotions. If you are not there, you're physically there, but not there emotionally, it is a primal panic goes on inside us.
So the silent treatment isn't the best treatment.
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay.
So if you look at the research, what's he, Dr. John Gottman out of the Seattle Love Lab has been doing research on that for 25 years. You show, he can predict with 94% accuracy from an interview and sitting you together for a couple hours, just having you talk about the latest fight you've had, with 94% accuracy to see if you're together in 2 years.
Really?
One of the signs is stonewalling. Nobody's there. We will not engage, and it's a high predictor that we won't be together because we can't sustain it. We're not meant to. We're not designed to.
So this is a huge topic.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm going to run through these really quick, so I'm going to apologize if I run through it quick. There's just so much to cover. Next slide, please. So Dr. Paul Ekman was a consultant on the movie that Pixar did called Inside Out. Mm-hmm. And it's a great little movie. They took only 5 emotions because they thought they could only do 5 characters with the storyline. So they took 5 emotions and they show how it goes through an animated way of looking through what it looks like through a brain of an 11-year-old. It's a great little movie. It just came out in 2015. I have some quibbles with it, as does Dr. Ekman. There's some things that are not completely accurate. We know that there was no surprise and there was no shame, which was really too bad, but they chose only 5 emotions to go through. And then they showed an 11-year-old. So typically, and I'm going to run through that a little bit more about how emotions, that you would have a mix of emotions sooner than 11, but it's a great little movie. Next.
Toxic thoughts. You know, I hear a lot about toxic thoughts. How do toxic thoughts affect us emotionally?
So I've written down some of my favorites because these are the ones that show up all the time. So see if they resonate with you. Ever heard in your head things that you say to yourself? Wouldn't you beat yourself up in your head, or you repeat things over and over? Some things like, I'm not worthy, I don't deserve it. I'm unlovable, I'm stupid, I am bad. I'm sure you've heard that one. That one's really huge. I am not good enough. These thoughts impair your thinking. And then you will see your behavior coming out of this. So they affect the way you emotionally react with others. The emotions will predict. So if I'm stuck in fear and I see your face, I'm going to interpret everything based on the fear that I'm experiencing. And I'm going to misinterpret what's going on for you. So you can see how the thoughts that I have about myself, if I think sitting up here I'm bad, how it's going to interfere with my ability to present with you. So it's these toxic thoughts that are unconscious. We have to be able to put words around them to make sense of them. Where did they come from? Where are the roots? Which is most important. So the toxic thoughts, in psychology, we call them negative cognitions. In biblical base, we call them false beliefs. So we need to know what the truth is. So first we have to go kind of diving in to discover what is it that you believe about yourself. What words do you say about yourself?
So the next question actually ties into this. So you've got these negative thoughts,
yeah,
and they affect the way you see everything around you.
Yeah.
But there's an additional thing. It actually affects you physically.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So before I go there, I'm going to skip one. So I didn't, I just changed up his order.
Okay.
Sorry. The next one, if you could advance the slide, please, is about the emotional lies from those toxic thoughts.
Yeah.
So your question was, what emotional lies have Christians bought into?
Yeah, the Christians bought into.
Okay. So I don't know if you could go back one, please. Thank you. Here's some of the thoughts that show up, from the toxic thoughts to those of faith and how they hold them. I am a Christian, therefore I shouldn't have any trouble with my emotions. I want you to notice the word should. Have you ever heard yourself shoulding on yourself? Very careful. I said the word should, okay? It's like loading manure onto yourself. It brings shame. Okay, so hear it in your language as you speak. I should have done this. I should have done that. Well, these huge expectations, you're human. Whether you're a Christian, whether you are a person of faith or anyone, we make mistakes. We have emotions. They move us sometimes in irrational kind of ways, but the brain has a reason for it. But if we have this thinking, impaired thinking, that we should do something, it will impair the way you will act, and often with shame, we will pull back. Mm. Another big one I hear is, I'm a failure. I'm a failure as a Christian because I let my emotions take over. Again, you can hear how shaming that is. You are a human. You are made in the image of God, and you were fearfully and wonderfully made, and shame is a part of it. Anger is a part of it. So let's learn how we can deal with it, and I'm going to skip forward to what you're asking me, how it goes and shows up in the body, okay? What does it look like? Next slide, please. So we know that everything that you have shows up physiologically. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So anything that I do emotionally will show up physically. Physically will show up emotionally. Spiritually will show up. And it's like a mobile. You push one part of a mobile, or like a wind chime, then everything else moves. Okay? So we know that as it affects us physiologically, the heart is the biggest electromagnetic organ in the body. So if you think of biblically, it talks a lot about the heart, right? Guarding your heart, which is what you spoke about. The heart is this huge electromagnetic organ. We can measure the electricity that comes off your heart up to 5-6 feet away. So you know this because you walk in a room and you can feel it in the room, or you have somebody walk in the room and they're looking really like hopeless, in despair. You can feel the energy change. Or if they're charismatic, they come in with all this energy and you are pulled alongside with that energy. We know that because you are affected. Your emotions are being projected out to everybody around you. Next slide, please.
Yeah, I like the heart is the largest electromagnetic, and emotion is energy in motion.
Yes.
I like that connection. That's cool, yeah.
So if you think about it electrically, energy in motion, it is meant to move. It's energy that's moving through your system. So when it gets stuck, this is where the problem is. So I'm going to get everybody to, this is a great slide, but it's really complex, about the heart and how it's affecting all the rest of your body. So we're going to break it down. I want you to go with me, and if you're at home listening to this, grab your hand, left or right. I want you to hold it up for me. We're going to make this into a hand model of your brain. I'm going to take that thumb, I'm going to tuck it in underneath. This is your limbic system. This is where the seat of your emotions are. Look at your arm going down. We're going to pretend this is your spinal cord going down from your neck, okay? Brainstem here at the bottom of your palm, okay? Top of your fingers is that cortex, which is your high-level thinking. Bend your fingers down this is your brain. Now, ideally, we would have two stuck together, right? We're going to pull it apart for two hemispheres, right? And the corpus callosum, the band of fibers connecting two. But I want you to think of your hand. Now, what's tucked inside there is your thumb. Open it up for a second. This part of your thumb is your limbic system. Right here at the end is the amygdala, okay? Right where that first knuckle is. It's a little almond-shaped part of your brain. Its purpose is to be able to do that appraisal. Is it dangerous or safe? Do I need to send signals or not? Hippocampus is in the middle. This is where it lays down memory. And then back down over at the other end, we don't need all the parts of the brain. But notice how when we close your hand, how close those emotions are to everything. To your brainstem, to your main function, your breathing, up to your higher level thinking. It's all tucked in the middle. Didn't God make it fabulous? Now your fingers, the fingernails at the top is your prefrontal cortex. This is where you have executive function, where you have the ability to think through things and consider, part of me feels this way, part of me feels that way. Well, what happens if you come into church today and you saw somebody and they were really upset? Your amygdala went off, said, oh my goodness, danger. They're upset. What do? I have to change it. How do I fix it?
Yeah.
Right? The signal goes down from that amygdala down to the brainstem, sends the signal down to your adrenal glands, which are tucked by your kidneys, and you can see it down in the body, sends off cortisol, which is your stress hormone, your adrenaline, to get you ready to fight. Or flee, get out of danger, right? And if you can see that, you pull back. So that's your hand model. If you go forward to the next slide, please, this is how it shows up and how we can research it. Your emotions shift from your heart. Coming back to your heart, so if you see on the left, this is an image in a simple way of showing what happens with heart rate variability. So if any of the ladies were here that had a babe at some point, when you were in hospital, they stuck on a monitor on you called the heart rate variability monitor, the fetal monitor. And what it would do was check the heart rate of the babe. If all's right with the world, labor progresses as expected. If it's not, and you see the heart rate variability, the beat-to-beat changes in between, not just the heart rate, but all the information between each beat. If all's right with the world, you'll see it as the right, this nice sine wave. If it's not, we know that a signal like that is going to say, babe's in distress, go get babe now. This happens when you hold emotions now. So we can take heart rate variability. I can clip you up in my office or with your iPhone, with your iPad, checking out your heart rate variability to be able to shift your emotions from frustration to something more like thankfulness, gratefulness, appreciation. Next slide, please. So again, the heart rate variability shows up with the jagged when you're frustrated. So what happens if you hold frustration all day? It impairs your ability for your inflammatory system. It can be, if you're holding anger, it affects it and shuts it down for 5 hours. So what happens if you hold it longer? It's a tremendous effect on the body. And you can see appreciation, how different that is. You can feel it, and we're going to walk through this.
Wow.
Question 5. That's where I'm at.
You guys aren't going anywhere today, are you? Wow. Feelings, okay, you know, especially in the Christian world, feelings get a bad rap. They do, especially among Christians. But instead of discounting feelings, how then should we be wrestling through, you know, this very real thing that we struggle with all the time?
Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to walk you through one of the feelings, okay? And I understand that you're doing some other presentations and work with anxiety and depression, those kind of things at some other point.
Yeah.
So I'm going to walk you through briefly frustration. Okay? And what it looks like, because you as people of faith, I don't know if you've ever had frustration. Next slide, please.
2 feet on the ground, everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this slide is Dr. Gordon Neufeld, who's the top child psychologist in Canada, and he's done a lot of work with making sense of kids, and then once you understand it and you can see what's happening, you can then translate it to you as an adult. So this is one slide that we're going to run through very quickly, and I'm going to give you an example so you can walk it through my experience. So take frustration. I want you to take and envision a traffic wheel. Okay? Ever gone a roundabout?
Yeah.
Okay? So I want you to imagine your hands on the wheel, okay, and you want to go around the traffic wheel. There's going to be different ways out of this roundabout. First, if frustration comes up, so frustration is something, something's not working the way I'd like it to. Hence frustration. So frustration, energy, imagine the energy in the system. It's going around. The first thing the brain does is try to change it. Right? Mommy says, I can't have a cookie before supper. What do? I don't want it. I throw a temper tantrum, right? Because I want the cookie. So here's frustration. If you don't feel that you can't change it, if you don't feel futility, I can't have a cookie before supper. If you don't have that capacity, or you have a hard heart and you don't feel that futility, or maybe it's one of those inevitable things, right? I can't accept that this change hasn't happened, but it is. This is the truth, and I can't change it. If you don't face the futility, or if you don't have a way to change it, then you have to face the futility. Going down to the bottom, if the futility is not felt, and I'm going to go through this, you need to feel it. Emotions need to be felt before you can manage them, or name them, or move them. Manage through. So if it's not felt and you don't feel sad about this futility that I can't have a cookie before supper, if you don't feel that, the energy is going to continue. If you can feel it, and the mom will go, I know, you're really sad, and you're also frustrated that you can't have the cookie, you're going to have adaptation. We're going to run through where you feel the sadness. It moves from mad to sad. If the energy stays in the system and they don't feel that sadness, you attack. So the kid kicks the dog, right? Or you project your anger on your spouse when it's actually what occurred when you were driving home. So this is the roundabout, and the energy will stay in the system, okay? So here's where having a soft heart to be able to be moved to change from mad to sad is critical. So I'm going to run through a story with you just to make this come home. I want you to imagine me. I'm going to use me so I can rat on myself. We have a 22-year-old son who's facing futility. His mother wasn't facing futility at the time, though. He had a health crisis. His kidney started to go into renal failure. He's 22. Why would this happen, right? Nobody can make sense of it. I flew out because he's living and studying in BC. I flew out. He had a surgery, put in a stent to drain the urine from the kidney down to the bladder. Nobody could figure out why this is happening. They believe there's one blockage in his ureter. Jump forward in time, he's really, really sick. They take the stent out. The surgeon decides that we can repair the blockage in the ureter, and we're going to go forward. Well, his pain's increasing. His abdomen's starting to be distended. He's sending pictures home of this abdomen sticking out, and we're both in panic. Send him to Emerge, they give him more drugs. Send him back to the urologist, they give him more drugs. So we finally flew him home on all the drugs. He didn't know if he was going to make it. Within an hour of him getting off the plane in August, my husband took him back to Emerge because he was that sick. We could see it. And within 5 hours, he was back in surgery. He needed another stent. The kidney's that bad. But I thought they could repair it. So jump forward in time 10 days, and we're going to meet with my husband and myself and our son, going to meet with a consultant, a urologist. So we're about to walk into the hospital, and my son turns to me as we're walking in and goes, look at me, Mom. I'm dressed in all black. I'm grieving for my kidney. I go, oh, you're so funny. Right? You know, that's really not creepy, you know? He's already grieving. I'm not there. I wasn't with him during the other surgery. I didn't know all the information. So I'm like, I dismissed it. Totally. We sit with the urologist and we're looking through each of the scans. We're seeing these pictures and I'm horrified. I'm in terror. His kidney's taking up the whole space in his abdomen. You can see how huge it is, filled with urine. So we look through slide after slide. It's starting to sink in that, oh my gosh, this is happening and there's nothing I can do. Can I change this? No. So the next thing I realize, it's futile. There's nothing I can do. This is my son. I can't protect him. And the tears start to come while I'm sitting there. How do I do that? I have to shut down my tears, right? I have to keep it together, right? The resident comes in who knows Rob and wants to give us hugs. I'm not in the place to give hugs. I'm feeling vulnerable. I'm pushed back, right? There's no way you can hug me. And by the time we're trying to make an appointment to get his kidney removed now, it's non-salvageable. I can't process. The tears are coming down. I can't make any sense of it. We go home. What happens? I'm frustrated. I want to change this. I'm mom. I need to protect him. I can't. So I start getting angry. It's a surgeon's fault. How dare he? It's my husband's fault because he didn't pick it up, right? I should have taken him and this should have happened. And you could hear it. I was yelling. I was angry. I also knew that I needed to be sad. It needed to move. I needed to move through the futility and surrender this to God. This is not something I could change. That's an example of how the emotions need to move. Next slide, please. So the frustration feelings have to move to futility. You can see how it dissipates, like chemistry, it changes shape. If you think of like a titration, it needs to change state. But we need space for this. And you can't dismiss the fact that I was frustrated. And I had every right to be frustrated. But I also needed to know that there was some sadness. I need to hold both.
Okay, we're in probably the 5-minute
mark
here.
Thank you. We're going to run quick.
Okay. So I'm just going to let you run with the last 5 minutes because this, as we said, this is a huge topic. End of November, we have a seminar here, and actually we're looking at a 6-week series dealing with a lot of these things, with you hosting it, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get the date. So this is really important stuff. But let me give you the last 5 minutes and rip away.
If you could skip forward and to the next slide, please. So I'm going to help you to be able to shift emotions for yourself. Now, understand that with a child under 5, they cannot hold mixed emotions. Remember that amygdala in your... what happens with that limbic system, this prefrontal cortex is not wired in. So they cannot hold sadness and frustration at the same time. None of us can. And we lose our mix at the end of the day. So if I'm caught and I'm stuck in frustration, it needs to move. A child, you're going to have to help them move through it. You're going to need to name it. So we're going to run through something that you as adults can do. So kids cannot regulate their own emotions. Okay? Don't forget that. Your job to help them.
We're okay to put this on our website.
Quick coherence is a technique through HeartMath. It's using the physiology. There's no words that are new under the sun. These are just some words that they put together to help you understand it. So the first thing, I'm going to get you to do this with me really quick. You are going to do 2 steps. I want you to take your focus from your head down to your heart. And if you feel comfortable, just closing your eyes as you do that. Then I want you to just start the breathing, heart breathing, where it's slower, it's longer. It's about an in, 2, 3, 4, 5, out, 2, 3, 4, 5. This we call heart breathing. It's slower, it's longer. It brings the brakes on the system. Notice that feeling in your body. Now I'm going to get you, if you could switch to the next slide, is to be able to hold an emotion. I want you to be able to hold thankfulness. Gratefulness, appreciation. Can you do that? Notice the warmth in you that you can hold the breathing and that feeling and open your eyes? Now, you only did about a minute's worth. How was that? Could you do it? Could you do it for 30 seconds? Could you do it up to 15 minutes? So what you need to be able to do is to hold positive emotions over time, to be able to shift gears, shift emotionally as well as physiologically. We're doing both. Go to the next slide, please. Another tool, which is really critical, is to be able to first become aware. Before you do anything, what am I feeling? What am I thinking? Once you've got your awareness, you can choose. Before then, you're not going to know what's going on. So bring your attention in to your body. What am I feeling? Next slide, please. You're going to do the same thing as we did before. Shift to your heart. Shift the attention and the focus. So you're just visualizing heart area and visualizing that breath going through your heart. Next slide, please. There's that breath, feeling calm or peace. This is just two techniques to help you through. And we're just going to jump forward to the last piece.
Uh-huh.
Like, how fast can we go, right? The last question was that you had is one key thought that you wanted me to be able to leave with you today.
Yeah, one key thought.
So if anybody says to you, you're not hearing me. Ever heard that? Catch the emotion. Reflect, what are they feeling? So figure it out. See if you can walk around that. What might it be that they're feeling? Are they frustrated? Tentatively put it out there. It sounds like you're kind of frustrated at me, right? Put it out there. See if they can say, yeah, I am. I'm really ticked off royally at you. And you can go, okay. Don't help them shift out of it because it's going to dismiss it. Stay with them. Stay where they are emotionally. And the kids can't do this, so you need to know that you're going to help them do this. And you know this intuitively, that you'll walk through that. Next slide, please. So biblically, where does this come in? If we look at Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is what you were speaking about last week, about guarding your heart, that emotional heart that you have. How do we do that? How do we get the peace? You got to think of context. What is it? Become aware. Next slide, please. You have to go back a verse. What happens in the verse before then? How do we get that peace? Going back, what the Lord says is to do not be anxious about anything. And here's what we get to do instead. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. So you come to Him, you stop, you breathe, you say, help, if that's all you can get out, it's a help. You start breathing, you stay breathing until you've got some clarity so the stress hormones are not going through your brain and so that you can speak clearly about, okay, I'm feeling distressed. Lord, what can I do about this? So there, you know, is it something that I need to find my tears about because I can't change this? So honor the emotions. They are there for a good reason.
And God's wired us this way, but He's given us tools. And I love the self-aware thing. You know, I think that's one of the things that people struggle with, is the more self-aware that we are, the healthier we become, the better we become. And the better that we can manage our emotional health, our physical health, spiritual health, all of those things. So wonderful. Thanks. I know we've gone a bit over time and everything, but thank you very much. I just want to pray and invite the worship team to come up, and they're going to close us off in a song. Father in heaven, thank you.
Lord, this has just been wonderful to wrestle through some of these things that all of us in one way or another recognize within ourselves, but don't always know how to manage or how to control or how to guard our hearts when it comes to our emotions. Thank you for Fern, and thank you for her wisdom and her experience and being able to clarify some areas, Lord. And I pray for someone here this morning that it would be an aha moment. It would be a moment where they're recognizing something in their lives that they need to work on and be aware of and allow the Lord to work in their lives in such a way so it doesn't continue in their lives and they become more emotionally healthy and their well-being would be better as well. So thank you, Lord. We pray your blessing upon this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.